the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to episode number 99 of the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at nfl.com/Sheck. S-H-E-K. I encourage you, nay demand, that you go there, you subscribe on the iTunes, you make a comment, you rate it, all that jazz. Let's talk some football. We're going to be doing it today with Brett Kiesel, defensive end for the Pittsburgh Steelers, struggling, and I don't mind telling you, I will bring that up to Brett Kiesel. You hear me now, believe me later. Also from the AFC North, I guess this is an AFC North special, a Rust Belt special, we're going to be talking to Cleveland Browns kick returner, punt returner supreme, Josh Cribbs. He got belted a couple Thursday nights ago, but good by the Ravens. We'll talk to him about that. Plus, the big news of Tuesday, we're coming to you on Tuesday the 16th here, and the news is that Joe Banner in, Mike Holmgren out for the Browns. We'll talk about that. In the meantime, let's say hello to my man seated to my immediate right from NFL.com, pick six, like, dislike, NFL Fantasy Live and beyond. It's Adam Rank. What's the poop, fella?
Hey, boss. Thanks for having me. Little sure. Morose today.
Why?
I don't know if I like the NFL right now.
What on is that day, supposed to mean?
On this day, it's bad weekend for me. You know, I do enjoy watching my birds, my Arizona Cardinals.
Your birds. Now you've really embraced them. Yeah, yeah. I've noticed that with each passing week, you embrace them more, which is weird because they're getting worse and worse.
Yeah, exactly. It's an inverse thing. I should go back to ignoring them. I did have Cardinals season tickets for 1 year back in, gosh, it had to be 19. Well, I don't even know. But I had season tickets for them. I also had.
In the 20th century? You could afford season tickets back then? Wow.
It was
Mr. Moneybag.
No. We called up. We were going to go out for a weekend. We were going to go to an ASU game. And we go, oh, the Cardinals are in town, too. When we called up and we're like, how much would tickets be? They're like, well, you can get them for $150. And I'm like, well, I don't want, you know, where would I be sitting? And they're like, oh, you'd be sitting. It was a full season. Was like $150. In the old Sun Devil Stadium. And I'm talking second row of the upper deck, too. Pretty good seats. And obviously, I like the Chargers, too. I had season tickets for them, too, as well. And
great effort by them on Monday night.
That was horrific.
You think?
Terrible. Yeah. When Peyton Manning is running off your field with his hand raised, and you know, because the Chargers have owned him so much over the years, that he was really enjoying that one. Like, hey, I'm glad the defense was able to bail me out. Thank you. And he was running off and enjoying his spoils.
All right, let's talk to another man who just walked into Studio 66. It's been at least 2 weeks again. He's the busiest man at the NFL Network and at NFL.com. Our pal, big Dolphins fan from across the pond, it's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. His name is Handsome Hank. He's handsome, Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Thank you, Dave. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, in spite of the fact that my Steelers are officially worse than your Dolphins. Who could have seen that one coming there, Handsome?
No, certainly not me, but it's very exciting.
Everyone is 3-3. There are two teams that are 5-1 in the AFC. Everyone else is rubbish or at least mediocre. It's something that I've been talking about quite a bit, and in fact, I just talked about it on the Shame Report. That'll be available for you on Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, so be on the lookout for that. And I address it. Who's good? I don't know. No one is the answer. There's no one who's really good. When the Texans at home on a big Sunday night stage, that, you know, teams tend to get up for these games.
Right.
The Packers, I know they needed to have this game, but they go in there and they take care of business. They laid it to the Texans. I mean, the Falcons should. What?
We called that on Sheck to the Future.
I know we did, but I'm just saying it's remarkable that no team really can. I mean, San Francisco at home, the Giants go in there and whip them. It's one thing for them to lose that game, but to be dominated in the fashion they were. I can't make sense of this, but let's start with your Dolphins. You're excited about Ryan Tannehill, aren't you?
I'm very excited about Ryan Tannehill. I think he's going to be a good – I think he's actually become a good player a lot earlier than – you know, remember, there are a lot of people saying, well, he's going to need to sit for two or 3 years and learn under Matt Moore or whatever that was worth. But here he is. You know, he's looked great. And there will be rookie, you know, there'll be week 10, he'll suddenly throw four picks, and I think I'm ready for that, but I certainly wasn't ready for the type of performance he's turned in, not so much last week actually, because I think they were kind of lucky to beat the Rams, mm-hmm. but the weeks before that and a couple of the losses that they had against the Cardinals and against the Jets, I think he played better in those games and didn't come away with a win.
Listen, I agree with you about the things you're saying about Tannehill. Let's remember, too, before the season started, the reason I advocated put Matt Moore in there, David Garrard, or whoever else, you're just throwing this poor guy to the Wolves. Whoever you put in there is going to get tortured. The offensive line looked like it was going to be better. I didn't know Reggie Bush was going to run as well as he has mm-hmm. been running as long in the games that he's been healthy. But let's remember, they have no wide receivers. Brian Hartline's a fine story, but that's not a legitimate number one receiver. And he's still being productive. That's what you should be really excited about.
I am
about.
Excited about that. And they have Jabbar Gaffney, who, again, is certainly not the answer to any long-term question, but he's another weapon that he'll have. And he's been inactive the last 2 weeks. Hopefully he gets healthy after the bye week coming up this weekend. And then he has someone else to throw the ball to as well.
Any chance does any team other than the Patriots have a shot to win that division, Rank?
No.
They're all 3-3.
Yeah.
They're simultaneously in first and last place all together.
We keep expecting the Patriots to separate themselves, but they really haven't. And you look at who are they losing to? They lost to the Seahawks. They lost to the Cardinals. You know, teams that you're not very high on or don't think are very good. You know, they're losing these games they should be winning. So to say that they're the absolute best team in that division, that they're going to run away with it, you can't say that.
How about you, Handsome?
I think it's the default response to that is, well, no, of course you can't, because we've said for 10 years it's been Patriots are going to win it. But I'm not sure. I think they probably will end up winning it, and I think only one team from that division comes out and makes the playoffs. But I wouldn't put everything on there. You look at the Patriots and why they lost to the Seahawks. There's issues you don't normally see from that New England team. That seem to be cropping up.
Well, what about the AFC? What is the story with it, with who is good there? The Texans, I am inclined to say, even though they lose Brian Cushing, I mean, that's a significant loss for them. And I wonder how significant it's going to be as things. I mean, look, they lost Mario Williams last year, and they still were a good team. And that's even before they lose not just one, but their top two string QBs. But who else besides them is good? Now the Ravens are decimated by injury. Legitimately, I think you could make a case. There was a lot of talk just a week ago that Ray Lewis looks finished. I've been saying that for now 4 years or so, that he clearly is, you know, he doesn't have the top gear anymore, and then the whole weight loss thing. I almost feel like Webb is a bigger loss for them because they don't have now a corner there. Ray Lewis is a great name brand, but he's not that great anymore. Nada with the injuries. I think that they're due to go down. I think Flacco, this thing about Flacco is, you know, one of the top, whether he's the best quarterback or a top five or top 10, whatever, he's just not consistent. That's all. He looks terrific slinging the ball, but week in and week out, he just fails to deliver. So I don't know that you can make much of a case for the Ravens being a team that is some juggernaut. Who's good? Who's good, Handsome?
Well, one thing we do know is that there will be an AFC representative in the Super Bowl.
There has to be.
But yes, I do.
Who's going to win two games in a row to get to the Super Bowl? Texans are the only team that can do it in my book.
That, and so the Texans probably, if you on paper, the Texans are the best team. But I am a big believer in that sort of, do you have the adversity and the experience to weather the playoff storm? And I think that's when, if the Patriots get through, the Steelers, you know, somehow sneak into the postseason, those teams that have done it before, that's where they come into the fore.
I'd like to close the book on the Steelers. I'm inclined to think that they're finished, and partially because of the injuries, but that also, let's not obscure the fact that the offensive line hasn't been working out. I don't need to go into, and Ike Taylor is just getting picked on now. Mm-hmm. It's almost getting sad the way mm-hmm. that this guy, who was one of the better lockdown corners around, they just plainly are targeting him and throwing at him because the Steelers aren't getting enough of a pass rush, which really just is embarrassing. I feel bad for the guy almost. I'm going to tread lightly on that one with Kiesel. I don't want to ask him too much about old Ike there, but I do want to see if they have anything in store to try and cover up that. They've always depended on the fact nobody's running on us, therefore we can unleash the hounds and get some pressure. and play a certain style in our secondary, but they just can't do it anymore. They're not getting the pass rush anymore. So I don't think the Steelers.
And Chris Johnson's able to run on you.
Yeah, but they all. But listen, they're all. Everybody in the league stinks. Everybody in the AFC is 3-3 or 2-3. So you can't close the book on almost any team outside of
San Diego,
the Browns,
the Chiefs.
You know, the Chiefs.
I won't give up on the Chiefs.
Can I tell you something? The Denver Broncos are good. The Denver Broncos are going to be good.
Their defense is good.
Their defense is good. They can run the ball.
They have
good wide receivers. Mm-hmm. Peyton Manning is the story. It nauseates me that he gets too much credit for things like what happened on Monday night. Look at the – I caught some of the radio broadcast the second half before I got home to watch it. And so I was listening on the radio. And Dan Fouts was – listen, look at what Peyton Manning does. He just gives the whole team so much confidence so that they can do it. Peyton Manning has anything to do with them picking passes off and returning?
Right.
Yes.
They look
Peyton Manning's responsible. Yeah, congratulations.
They look pretty confident with Tim Tebow at quarterback last year, too.
Same thing.
I think they were fine. You know what, the team you didn't mention? What about the Bengals?
They just lost to the Browns.
Everybody's lost. Everybody has bad losses to teams, but when you look at Red Dalton, you look at A.J. Green. A.J. Green, by the way, he's ahead of Calvin Johnson's pace from last year in receptions and yards. He's behind a little bit in touchdowns. Hmm. This guy's amazing.
Who predicted that?
Me.
Well, you know who else? If you actually predicted that, good for you. You know who else did?
Who?
Dave Damashek. That's who. Hmm. I told you A.J. Green was going to have a top three season among wide receivers.
So did I.
All right. Well,
fantasy.
So,
we do that kind of stuff.
All right. Well, I don't think a lot of other people had that. By the way, we do, as a side note.
We should. Well,
our colleague from NFL Fantasy Live, Michael Fabiano, the supposed guru. I don't know if you've noticed. He's in last place in our fantasy league.
All of them.
We have to get him up here.
I just crushed him in our NFL AM league, too, because we got to play two experts leagues.
I beat him a couple of weeks ago in our NFL edit desk.
He's having a down year, and I don't want to talk about it too much, but he plays in like 30 leagues, and he's usually pretty good. He's doing lousy in all of them.
Handsome.
You don't want to talk about it too much, though.
Handsome.
I don't want to go on and on about it.
He gets very depressed. Yeah, he does. He'll get down in the dumps, Fabiano. Handsome, you're leaving for your homeland.
It's true. I am flying, I think, to London on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm. You're not sure?
I'm not sure. I'm flying to London on Thursday night, and I'm going to be there for the big international game, which is coming up in the following weekend, which is very exciting.
You're going out there for a fortnight?
Well, I'll be there for 10 days in total.
I'm going to have to wait that long for my shirt?
In total?
Yes, in total.
Ugh.
What do you mean, your shirt?
He's picking up some clothing for
me. What?
Some shirts. Adam wants some shirts.
What do you mean, shirts?
Shirts.
From England, you know?
What, England makes better shirts than we make?
Being a TV
star. Or that China makes for us, I should say. Wait, what do you mean? What kind of shirts are made in London that are so great?
What is the name of the company?
Burberry?
But kind of thing.
Is that really? You're getting some nice money
now. Of course, yeah. We're gonna go halvesies on an order. Looking forward to it.
What are you talking about? Handsome Hank is really picking you up.
Two shirts. Adam wants two shirts. He likes formal wear.
Yeah.
It's a little known fact about Adam Rank.
And are you getting me anything handsome?
I will bring you. Look, in the summer when I went back to London, I promised you a gift and I never brought it back. Mm-hmm. This time around, I will bring it for you.
Handsome, what do you think? Well, we'll miss you. You'll miss the celebration then later this week because it's episode number 100 of the Dave Damashek football program. I have no doubt, and when I say I have no doubt, I mean I am 100% positive that nothing is going to happen.
I think Black Tie has some really special moments lined up for you.
Is that true, Black Tie? Do you have anything special planned for episode number 100?
To me, it's really only episode 70 because I was started on the podcast with episode 31. So.
That's true. And you, ultimately, it is your job.
Cool. You've lasted this long?
Program.
What's that, Black Tie? I mean, Handsome?
It's called the Black Tie Football Program. So.
Speaking of, I was going to say, did you guys notice? I don't know if you guys watch ESPN at all, but like Scott Van Pelt show recently changed the name to SVP and Russillo. So I was wondering if you guys could do that same thing, too.
They did. They changed it to SVP and Russillo.
Yep. It's official.
Interesting.
Hmm. So
what if we just call this one Damarank?
No, I was thinking more like Sheck and Black Tie.
Oh, you see what happened, Rank.
Look at that. Yeah.
He threw you a curveball. You didn't see that one coming. Good for you.
I didn't.
All right,
that's called the swerve in comedy.
Yeah. What goes on back in England for you then? I'm ashamed to say I'm not even sure what Kamish Goodell and you have planned for that game. Who's playing?
So the Rams and the Patriots are playing. which you know should be a pretty good game.
They never consider though. I always feel bad. It seems like they have a bad track record for getting good uniform matchups in that game. The people in England don't get treated the best uniforms, and I would think that would be a major component.
Like Dolphins Giants was the first one. There's not a lot that doesn't work.
No, they don't go together that well, right?
There was a Saints Chargers matchup.
No.
Not really a lot going on there.
No, I like the Saints, but it doesn't go.
Patriots,
the Chargers are
ugly. I like the matchup, the uniforms by themselves, but not the matchup. There was a Patriots Buccaneers, which really is that's
so
kind of
this
horrible.
Is Kraft's thing. He loves this the England Bowl so much that he wants to that he loves being a part. He wants his Patriots a part of it, which I've said if he loves it so much and he wants to expand over there, the greatest irony of them all would be is if he moved the Patriots over there and they became the London
England.
Patriots.
Well, the England Patriots.
The England Patriots would be the greatest.
It would be an easy transition.
And you
just
put,
losing the new.
You put
well,
the blue
the
coat
England
in
Patriots.
The in the triangular George Washington yeah. hat snapping the football. You put that yep. and just for would England be able to support
you just
that team?
Change the color to the blue coats.
I'm sure they would. I mean, the Patriots are the most popular team in the UK, so that's why they've been back a couple times.
The Patriots are the most popular team in England.
It's yes.
Why? How could that be? Where's your self-esteem? How could you root for a team that is named after the people who defeated you?
That is a very good point. But it speaks to the fact that the sport's growing there, and the Patriots have been successful recently, and there's a lot of front runners who want to jump on that bandwagon and you know be a fan of a winning team.
This is almost as bad.
Idiots like me that have chosen a team that haven't threatened to win a Super Bowl for
a
long time.
I want to talk to Josh Cribbs about that. How can you as a Brown, a player on the team or a fan of the team, how does it sit with you that you are now owned by a guy who has announced that he's a lifelong Steeler fan? That is so strange to me that would happen. Forget about this Holmgren banner jazz. I would be more bothered by that. Plus, Haslam says he's going to change the uniforms, too. What about the Dolphins? Are they still changing their uniforms?
I know nothing more than I told you before. I know that they were interested in it. And then I believe Jeff Darlington helped you report.
I don't think you can do that. See, Dolphins and Browns, they're not the problem. They have good uniforms. They don't need it. All right, Handsome, listen. Safe travels.
Thank you.
Go eat all the pretzels you can possibly eat over there.
None.
Will you eat fish and chips?
I'll probably eat fish and chips. I like fish and
chips. Those are good, Rank. Have you ever been to England?
Fish and chips. I have not been to England.
We should
Ranks
go. The three of us should go when you're in your DeLorean. Let's go.
Over to England. Listen, I wish I could. On my travels, I go on these, I go on my ultimate road trip, and it seems to me that, of course, we're missing a golden opportunity for me to go with Handsome Hank over to England.
Maybe yeah, how do time. They not do that for your little your little segment you got
still,
going on?
I
my little skit?
Still,
yeah.
They're still building the road between London and the East Coast of America, I think.
Handsome, what do you think about maybe filing a report for us? Could we speak with you?
Can I call in next week? Maybe I can call
in. I'd like that
London.
Very much.
That would be fun.
All right.
I'm sure Black Tie will make it happen.
I would love to go over there, and really what I would do is I would just go around all day and ask people, how can you root for the Patriots? You understand who this guy is, right? You understand
right.
what he is.
Yeah.
He's a Patriot. He took out the Redcoats. Your grandfather's grandfather's grandfather came up on the wrong side of a bayonet.
Right. His musket.
Yeah.
Got you. Yeah. I don't know. That's a very good question.
Did they teach you about George Washington in England when you're growing up?
We nothing about that kind of history.
It never comes up.
Not really, because it's
is it known as like the is it the War of American Aggression?
Yes. Yeah. it's when we gave America back to the Americans.
The name George Washington never comes up when you're
not
a schoolboy.
Really. Not much. I mean, of course it does, but not much.
Do people say
not the American history side of things? That's not what they're teaching. They teach English history. There's
do they say glorious... like? Do they say like those Americans are jerks? Do they talk about that? Like, remember what they did about 250 years ago?
Yeah,
that wasn't cool.
That wasn't cool.
Is that what the teachers do?
That's the lesson. In a nutshell.
I want one of those white wigs that they wear in court. I think it's funny that in the 21st century that they continue to wear white powdered wigs in court. That seems like it would undercut the legitimacy of the proceedings to have grown old men wearing long white wigs. Right.
That wasn't the gift I was thinking of for you, but maybe that's what I'll bring.
Whatever. Out. Whatever you can do. Okay. I'd love to have it. All right. Listen, Handsome, be gone because it looks like Black Tie. We got him. All right, great. We'll bid you a fond adieu, and we'll look forward to talking with you on the telephone, on the telly.
I'll look forward to speaking to you on the phone. It's not called a telly. That's the television.
Oh,
don't show me up. Don't show me up. Just show him the picture of the Patriot ring. That's my answer. That's my response to him.
Well, you were talking about web surfing. I was actually trying to see if there was a uniform leak for the Dolphins, and I'm looking at some website here. If this is what their helmet is going to look like.
Silver?
Silver helmet.
Blech.
They cannot be serious.
I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about something that's handsome, namely Brett Kiesel with that beard of his. Let's get him on the line. I think we got him coming up here right now. The great Brett Kiesel. All right, here he is, everybody. Big defensive end for the Pittsburgh Steelers, the 2-3 Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Brett Kiesel. What's happening, man?
What's happening, buddy? Thanks for having me on. I don't like that 2-3 very much, you know?
Guess what? I don't like it either, you know? I mean, you know, I was raised on the banks of the Three Rivers. I'm not, you know, I like that. I'm no stranger to Heinz Field. I know what the score is here. And frankly, I'm a little concerned here. How say you? What's the buzz in the locker room right now?
Well, there definitely is some concern, just like you said. We feel the same way. We're not accustomed to being in this situation very often, but, you know, it's correctable. There's still a lot of football left. We can still climb out of this and still get to where we want to go. So we just need to focus on this week's game, put the past behind us, focus on this week's game, and getting our first road win.
Kiesel, here's the thing. The one thing I don't like is jive. Let's not jive talk each other. Let's shoot straight while we're together today, okay?
Shooter.
All right, let's play it straight here. What's the issue? What is going wrong so far? Why, you know, the Steelers over the last 15, 20 years, a double-digit lead is usually money in the bank. That's it. The game is over if the Steelers get up 11-plus in a game. What is the number one issue? Health, the defensive line, the secondary, what?
Well, I personally just think it's collectively. You know, we haven't had that killer instinct at the end that, just like you said, when we get a lead, we go out and we finish it off. And unfortunately, we've let teams crawl back in. You know, plays have been there to be made, but for whatever reason, they're not being made right now. And it has to change in order, you know, for us to be the good team that I think we are.
Well, the good news is, as I'm sure you've observed, in the AFC, there are only two teams that are 5-1 right now. And in fact, the Ravens should really have lost the game somewhere along the way. They should have lost that Chiefs game a couple weeks ago. So like you say, it's correctable. As long as you get on the right track, at worst, the wild card, and it starts on Sunday night. Talk about going into Cincinnati in a big atmosphere. How big a difference is it when you play on Sunday night? I know that NFL players are usually impervious to the excitement and everything else of a big game. But the Sunday night games seem to be a little bit different. True or false?
It's true. You know, if you say that it's not, I don't think you're telling the truth. Everyone knows it's a primetime game, the only football game on, you know, the last game. Everyone's winding down, you know. Not only is America watching and all over the world, but, you know, also all your peers in the NFL are watching. And it's a very important game for us. We've been stagnant on the road thus far, and we're going to a place that this team's, you know, a pretty good team. They have a better record than we do right now. It's a divisional game, a game that we've got to have. And we need to make sure we're ready to go in there and play winning football.
All right, I don't think you're going to pull the curtain back completely and tell Marv Lewis and company what's going down, what LeBeau and company have cooking up there. But what is the plan to try and handle A.J. Green, who's setting the NFL on fire this year? Obviously, the Steelers have given up some big plays there to wide receivers over the last few weeks here. What's the plan? Have you had to adjust the philosophy a little bit with trying to cover up the secondary a little bit, especially with Polamalu out, or is it business as usual?
It's business as usual. I might have to lock up on him one-on-one a few times, you know, and show my skills at cornerback. But he is a great player, one of those guys that has to be accounted for on every play. You know, last year he burned us a couple times for some big touchdowns. So one of those special guys that you've got to make sure, you know, that he is accounted for on every play, because he can make a difference on any particular play. But I'm sure we're going to double him, you know, and maybe even triple him sometimes if we can. But, you know, we've got to, first and foremost, we got to shut down their running game and hopefully get some pressure on Dalton.
Gotcha. Last question for you, Steeler related, is your pal Troy Polamalu from Head and Shoulders and the School of Deeper Learning, and then also Lamar Woodley and then James Harrison early in the year. What's the status? I think the biggest piece to get back would be Polamalu. He's hardly been out there this year.
Absolutely. He's a game-changing player for us. You know, and we've relied on his playmaking abilities a lot, and he's working hard to get back. He's rehabbing very hard. So I don't know if he's going to be able to play. You know, those guys that are getting an opportunity to go out there and play in his stead have to make the most of it. You know, they're not going to be Troy Polamalu, but they have to be their best self and make sure they're in position to make plays and do their job, play in and play out.
Kiesel, real quick, I just don't want jive talk. If you tell me everything's going to be okay, I'll believe you, but shoot straight with me. Just tell me that, and then we can move on. Is everything going to be okay there?
I truly think so. I have confidence in this team, you know, to bounce back, and I think today is a big turning point for us. Obviously, we're launching. Troy and I are both launching Troy Polamalu School of Deeper Learning at deeplikeTroy.org, where you can go and see what type of professors Troy and I can really be as far as deep thinking and deep cleaning. But, you know, this is going to be our turning point. We're going to flip things around and get back on track, buddy.
I dig where your head's at here. Yes, I've dealt with Troy with Head and Shoulders over at the Kimmel Show a few years. He's always delightful himself, as are you. And here's what I figure. You guys got to get 3 out of 4 against the Bengals and the Bald Birdies. I think that's the key. How do you feel about that? Can you do it, 3 out of 4?
Yeah, I think that would be great. This next stretch here we've got coming up is crucial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we drop some of these games, and you know, our season could really be in jeopardy. So our backs are against the wall. We got to make sure we come out swinging.
Yeah, I got you. All right, man. So good stuff there. And we've made it this whole way without talking about the beard a little bit. I it's a point of pride for me. Now you do shampoo it up though, and all that stuff.
No question.
You did. That's why it's so lively, I should say.
Yeah, Head and Shoulders has taken this beard of mine to a whole new level since I've been on their team. It's really become more glorious and full than ever. And, you know, so I have to give them a lot of credit. You know, I've watched Troy use Head and Shoulders and see how full and thick his hair is.
Mm-hmm.
And I just follow suit.
That's beautiful. And have you ever, I'm sure you talk about this a lot, but, you know, I usually have like 3 or 4 days growth. And I got to tell you, sometimes if I eat something spicy or whatever, the next day I'll find the flavor still in the beard a little bit. You've got, I mean, that thing, but let's be honest, if you didn't wash it every day, there'd be some smells in there, right?
No question. Mm-hmm. You've got to make sure you take care of it. I'm the same way. I'll find a piece of sandwich in there maybe.
Entire sandwich.
From lunch. And so you got to brush it out, make sure you shampoo it. And, of course, my advice would be to use Head and Shoulders.
I got you. And last question for you. What are your thoughts on the Ravens with all their injuries, especially Ray Lewis? Do you guys now in the locker room, obviously the Steelers have been banged up significantly this year themselves, but do you guys talk about the fact that, wow, they're 5-1, but you don't root for the other team to get hurt, but now that they are, do you feel like, wow, we really have a chance if we can get it going here?
Yeah, well, I don't want to say we're grateful Ray got hurt, but, you know, Ray is a very crucial component to those guys, and he is a big reason why they have been as tough as they are for such a long time. He's been playing at a high level for a long time. And, you know, it's unfortunate what happened to him, but it's what goes on in our business. I mean, you know, we've went through it early this year as well without James Harrison and Troy Polamalu, and Lamar Woodley's been out. So it's a part of the game, you know. That's what happens. That's how guys get opportunities in this league, is is possibly being a backup role, and the person in front of you goes down, and you know, that's your opportunity to shine, and you have to seize that moment.
Gotcha. And last thing for you is, what's the best kind of meat to get at when you're at Permanente's?
Of course, the roast beef.
Well, that's incorrect. I'm sorry. That's a good choice.
They don't serve venison down there, so I guess you would have to go with the steak.
As a matter of fact, you're a big shot. You when you're walking around there, you could walk in with your venison. They'd cook that up for you special.
Yeah, I might take them some backstraps down there. Maybe we could start a new Permanente sandwich, the backstrap, the bearded backstrap, maybe.
Listen, they would do that. I'm telling you, if they're listening to me, that you think they wouldn't do that? They wouldn't love to have Kiesel on board at Permanente? They would go wild for that.
You know what? I'm going to walk down there right now.
The bearded backstrap. I'm going to make – I don't need any credit for this. I don't need any money as a result of this. I just want to be here at the outset, at the genesis of a great idea for the Berg.
All right. We'll open it up together.
All right. We'll do that. Okay. Kiesel, listen. Take out Cincinnati on Sunday night. Then you got the Skins at home. You got KC. Those are wins. All right, at the Giants is tough. Then the Birdies roll in. This is correctable. But tell the fellas – it's time now. No more jive. It's time to get going here now.
We're on it. No more jive.
All right. Thank you, Kiesel. I appreciate the time. Thanks to Head & Shoulders. Polish that beard up real nice. Give our best to Troy and number 7 and the rest of the gang over there.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. You guys take care.
You listen to Dave Damashek.
The great Brett Kiesel. He's a delightful fella, and I didn't like his choice of roast beef, but then we invented the venison sandwich. What do you think of that, Rank?
Why don't you take credit for that? I think you should
I don't need
you should
credit.
Be on the down,
it's
should
not
be on the
about
ground
that.
Floor there.
What have I told you many times, Rank? What do I want to do? I want to make the world a better place.
Do
I want
you?
I want to leave it better than I found it. And I feel like a move like this is doing exactly that.
Okay.
All right, well, Rank, he says he's going to turn it around. Do you trust him? Do you think the Steelers are in fact – what do you think their record is at the end of the year?
It's one of those teams that if everybody comes together, gets healthy again, if DeCastro comes back, they have an opportunity to start running
true.
The ball. There's a lot of what-ifs, but the AFC is going to come down to the team that is healthy at the end of the year, the team that can get on a roll and start winning again, because you said it best. You know, there's so much – parity in the AFC right now. So many 3-3 teams. The entire AFC East is
Kamish Goodell says parity. Pete Rozelle 20 years ago called it parity. I call it mediocrity. I don't think it's better. I like
having good teams.
Juggernauts, yes.
When you have – I know they like to call this past weekend upset weekend. Can you really have that in the NFL nowadays? I mean, there's some surprises, but everybody's even. You know what? Everybody – and what do they say? Every given Sunday, that kind of stuff. So it's going to be the team that gets hot. You know, Cincinnati, we talked about a little bit before you dismiss them. A team like that could go in and make a run, or maybe the Patriots get their stuff together and they go out and be the team that people expected them to be at the beginning of the year.
I got news for you. I counted it up, and, you know, I went through the schedule for the Steelers. They have too many tough games. I think if they play about how they played, slightly improved from how they've looked thus far, I think 9-7 is about realistically what they can hope for.
But
we're going to get to Josh Cribbs in just a second here.
But wouldn't you like that, though? I mean, you continue to talk about how great Ben Roethlisberger is when it comes to playoff time, how he makes things happen. You just want to be in. If you're a Steelers fan, that just seems like the ideal situation. You know what? Just get us in. You guys have won as a 6 seed. Why not this year?
I guess that's the way it goes these days. And, you know, I hate it. At least it's better than Major League Baseball. I mean, congratulations, Bud Selig. Everybody's patting you on the back for your ingenious expansion of the MLB postseason. I think it's garbage. Look at your final four that you're left with. Well, first of all, you have the Evil Empire. Who cares about them? No one wants them to win. No one wants them to win. But generally, I'm saying that this is one of your final four teams. Fine, so they're in there. Great. You have two warmed over stories in the Cardinals and Giants. Whatever.
I like that series.
The Giants are fine. The Cardinals have no business being in there. Enough's enough. I know it's a great baseball town, and so
they're like the baseball equivalent of the Steelers.
Listen, I like the Cardinals fans. I appreciate that they're excited, but this is the third barely above mediocre team that is now making a deep playoff run. Enough's enough. It's baseball does not lend itself to teams with 85 wins because those teams can win so often. That's just the nature of the sport allows for that. And all right, the Tigers are fine, but they won 88 games in that bum division. They played the Twins and
yeah, they won less games than the Angels. I'm pretty aware of that.
I know. Well, so it's not satisfying to me. That's all. And frankly, I've tuned out. I'll see, as I announced, I'll see you in 2013 baseball. Maybe. I don't even know if I can even make it through then.
And maybe the Pirates will remain in contention until like September 15th.
Ridiculous. This antiquated. Well, it's tradition. We can't have instant replay.
Why?
It's absurd.
Why would you want instant replay to slow down an already slow game?
So that an entire 6 months isn't washed down the drain because a guy missees a play there. It's ridiculous. All right, let's get now. But I was going to go through it for you real quick here, Black Tie. I'm sorry. I want to tell you real quick. Steelers go at Cincinnati. Loss. That's 2-4. Beat Washington. 3-4. At the Giants. Lose. 3-5. KC at home. 4-5. Baltimore at Pittsburgh. They got to have it. So let's even assume they take that one. 5-5. Pittsburgh at Cleveland. 6-5. Pittsburgh at Baltimore, loss, 6-6. San Diego at Pittsburgh, they win, 7-6. Pittsburgh at Dallas, loss, 7-7.
Nah, I'll give them
Cincy
a win there.
At Pittsburgh, let's say they win that one. That's 8-7. Cleveland at Pittsburgh, that's a win, 9-7. I mean, I don't know. Where did I say there's a loss that is not a loss there?
Dallas.
All right, real quick, let's get to our guy who's on the line with the big news of Cleveland today. Let's talk to one of their stars, Josh Cribbs. All right, Rank, look at this. With breaking news happening early in the week here, between week 6 and 7 from the Cleveland Browns, it's Josh Cribbs. What's happening, man? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
Not too bad. A lot of stories coming out of Cleveland all of a sudden. You guys get your first win on Sunday. You knock off the cross-state rivals, and then all of a sudden it's Mike Holmgren out, Joe Banner in. Talk about it.
Well, you know, we already have word that Holmgren will stay on for the remainder of the season to help with the transition of the team. He still will be a force, you know, on the team for us to, you know, take advice from as he has been doing thus far. So we really won't see any, you know, real changes until probably next year. So that's a good thing that Haslam is doing and allowing him to stay on to the remainder of the season.
What do you think about that, Josh? I'm from the other side of the Ohio-Pennsylvania border. I'm from a city called Pittsburgh, PA. Isn't it strange that your team is now owned by a guy who announces he's a Steeler fan?
Well, he was a minority owner of the Steelers. Mm-hmm. He really excited about owning this football team. He's a football fan. He wants to head this team in the right direction. And because he wants to do that, you know, I'm all for him. He has a lot of positive energy coming into this team, this organization. He's already brought a lot of positive energy with him. I mean, I'm behind the guy. Anybody that's for Cleveland, you know, I'm behind him 100%.
Yeah, you've been there for a number of years. What is the mood in the locker room? Are you guys talking this up? Is it a big deal to you?
No, not so much. You know, we really only look forward to things that, you know, we can control. We don't have any control over this. And, you know, we urge guys to stay away from, you know, thinking about it, you know, trying to, you know, react on it because it doesn't affect us at all.
Well, what about one last thing on Haslam? The thing that caught my ear a few weeks back was when there was some news that he might want to change the uniforms. What do you think about that?
I'm all for a change in uniform. I love the change that he wants to bring to this team, this organization. You know, me as an individual, I would love to see a change in uniforms. I know a lot of people would. I'm pretty tired of the, you know, the old, you know, traditional colors. I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but I would definitely welcome a change in uniform.
What would you change it to, though? Listen, of all the things I can say about the Browns, it is weird, by the way, that your team is named the Browns and yet your hat is orange. It seems weird. It seems ironic. But what would you do to it, then? What change are you proposing here?
I think that they will bring back the orange jerseys or orange pants, have a more of a diversity, a variety in uniform. You know, last year we only wore our white uniforms, and, you know, I didn't understand that at all. But, You know, this year is going to be a different change, and I'm sure next year will be as well. So I welcome it. You know, the all orange maybe, or you know, the brown maybe, but just something different. Anything that's different would do.
They got to go back to the numbers on the hat.
That's what I was going to say. Listen, Josh, you're a man of some influence in that locker room. Get Haslam's ear. Say, here's what we do. We put the numbers back on the hats.
That looked good too. Mm-hmm. You know, when we had our throwback games, we usually had the numbers on the helmets. That looked good because it was different.
Yep, that's exactly right.
All the college teams with their uniform changes, I mean, they're looking sharp out there. They're looking good. They're playing good. I think we need to start some of that too.
We're all on the same page on that count then. We park our cars in the same garage. Let's talk about the Browns and that rugged division you're in there. Your guys are sitting at 1-5. You've split with the Bengals. You went down on Thursday night but gave a real good run to those Ravens. Who's the best team in that division from what you've seen so far?
From what I see, it's almost a top, a toss-up. But, right now, statistically speaking, the Ravens are probably, you know, the team to beat in our division. And, we play them again. I'm looking forward to that as well. And then we see the Pittsburgh Steelers twice. We haven't played them yet at all as well. So I think right now Baltimore, the Steelers, and it's a toss-up between us and the Ravens.
What do you think about you played the Ravens on that Thursday night game, and we all saw that brutal hit you took, and some of your family, it was reported, said, hey, please hang it up already, Josh. We don't like seeing you get hit that way. What were your thoughts in the week after? Where are you now? Is it, to me, I mean, for most human beings, we see that, we think, wow, that would be hard to go back out and do that again, do the activity that got you hit like that. How do you deal with that and get back out onto the field so quickly after something like that?
You know what? It never dawned on me that, you know, that I would, you know, get hit like that. But after waking up from it, hey, I didn't feel a hit. After I came to, I was ready to go back in. I was ready to, you know, go back and to help support my team. It doesn't, you know, I can't fathom not playing this game or being out, you know, because I'm afraid that I might get injured or this and that. You know, I signed up for this sport. I love it to death. You know, it's just something that, you know, I'm going to keep playing until the wheels literally fall off, until I can't run anymore. So as long as I got a spot on the football team, I'm going to be out there playing.
Do you ever go back and watch it, though? Because it seems like a weird thing, because you said, you know, you don't remember it. Did you go back and watch it at all?
Yes, I watched it a couple times. A couple days, I only watched it once. Couldn't really watch it over and over. But I went back to try to analyze, you know, what everything happened and how it happened. And knowing that I couldn't really do anything different. It's an unfortunate thing that happens in football, you know, and, I'm past it.
Who hits the hardest in that division? The Bengals have a legitimate defense now. People don't seem to acknowledge that. But between the Steelers, Ravens, Bengals, which defense is the most rugged?
You know, not counting our own, it's a tie between the Steelers and the Baltimore. Baltimore is a really aggressive defense that all plays together. And the Steelers is as well, with James Harrison hitting hard and Polamalu. I mean, our conference, you know, exhibits some of the toughest football that rivals any games. If you see our game yesterday, I mean, it was a battle all the way to the end. The AFC has some of the best football, you know, in the National Football League. And, you know, I think that sums it up. The type of level of talent that we have on the field and how we play the game is just tremendously, tremendously above, you know, and beyond.
Wait a minute. The Chargers are in the AFC. I don't know if that's accurate.
I think he's focusing on the.
They came back. Hey, they let a team come back, a good team come back on them, and that also happens. You know, if no fight, if the fight doesn't end, you know, in these teams, you know, and that's what you know. Guys got to talk themselves when they get ahead. They tend to relax a little bit, and you know, that was a good example, a prime example of why you can't relax when you get a lead.
Hey, are you talking in the locker room to Shurmur and company? Are you asking him, hey, listen, when do I look, I know we got to develop Brandon Whedon. He's coming along nicely. He really seems to be settling in now as the games progress here. But are you saying to Shurmur and company, when's it my turn? I want to run some option back there. Let me sling the ball a little bit.
You know what? I do, you know, every now and then, you know, stick my nose in and, you know, talk to coach about some things. But, you know, I feel like we're headed on the right track. My special teams contribution, if I can keep, you know, trying to run back these kickoffs and punt returns, I think that, you know, things will start to look up for us.
Well, but listen, I like you running a little option. I love seeing that. You do it as well as anybody. I remember when you did it a couple of Thursday night game, a couple seasons ago on Thursday Night Football to the Steelers. They had no answer for you. Now, I know you're a big superhero guy. Who's your favorite?
My favorite right now will have to be the Hulk.
The Hulk.
Just from watching the movie, The Avengers, I mean, he's unstoppable. You know, I don't see anybody defeating the Hulk right now.
Well, listen. What if he got in a fight with Superman?
That's going to be an interesting battle. They can't; none of them can be killed. Superman has a weakness, kryptonite. All Hulk got to do is have some kryptonite. What can you do to defeat the Hulk? I don't know. Be nice to him.
No, well, but that's nice right. Where's Hulk? Hulk's not smart. He's smart when he's Bruce Banner, but he's not smart when he's Hulk. So how would he be able to find kryptonite? You see?
I understand that, but Hulk smashed. If he had that kryptonite, you know what I'm saying?
What about Thor? Did we lose him, Black Tie?
Looks like we did.
He hung up the phone on me. I gave him good logic, and he didn't like it, so he hung the phone up. That's the way Cleveland Browns respond.
He thinks
he's in this game. He wants to take me on. I take him on. Then I show him and I tell him what the score is. He didn't like it, so he hung up the phone.
No,
stop.
That's
bad
right.
Service.
David.
Josh
he's
Griffin's
like
great.
Brian Sipe.
No, he was great. He'll be back.
Beat it, Tim Couch. I got Superman in that fight. What, Rank? What do you have to say?
Superman. No, Superman. What about Doomsday? Doomsday kills Superman.
Don't throw your Doomsday nonsense at me. All right. Listen, let's move. Can we move on with the show?
Yes,
after
sir.
That embarrassment? After Josh Cribbs hangs the phone up on me in defense of the Hulk?
He didn't hang it up. He just left.
And I, you know what? I said it to, well, I didn't say it to his face, but I said it on the phone. I don't agree with him about it. I don't agree with anybody who thinks that the Browns uniforms need a changing, you know? I think it's ironic that they're the Browns and yet their hats are all orange.
Right.
And yet they're striking because you could only get away with that uniform in the Rust Belt. You know, if you took that uniform out and said, like, hey, yeah, we're Seattle. We're the Seattle whatevers in that hat. You couldn't do it.
With the orange hat?
Orange and brown? Not attractive in most parts of the country, but quite striking in Ohio. All right, I'm moving on from that disgrace. Let's talk with our two pals here from around the league, the Scribes, who tell you all things that are going on in the NFL, and they, as always, they do it with a bit of mirth. And on Thursday's programming note, or I should say Friday's, when our second podcast of the week goes up, make sure you stick around all the way to the end because that's when you get to hear the gold that is the Around the League Debate Club with our guests Dan Hanzus and Mr. Fancy Pants Mark Sessler. How are we, fellas?
Doing good.
It's awesome to be back again.
Are you happy about the news that Mark Sessler, Cleveland Browns fan, our ambassador to Cleveland, are you happy about the news that Holmgren is out, Banner is in?
Not so much that Holmgren is out. I think it's more that Haslam is in as owner. Mm-hmm. It's the first real positive change for that team.
No issue with the fact that he's a Steeler fan.
He's not a Steeler fan if he's just invested $1 billion in Cleveland.
He said he's a lifelong Steeler fan. You're so desperate that doesn't bother you in the least.
I'm not concerned. I am that desperate.
For crying out loud, he's not a hardcore Steelers fan. He grew up in like Tennessee.
He's
or he grew
Tennessee.
Up down south. He wasn't a Steelers fan. He bought in to get a piece of the Steelers. Of course, if you're buying a piece of the team, you're going to be a fan. Now he's the owner of the Browns. He's a Browns fan.
All right.
End of story.
Thank
Please
you.
Put that in
the Thank you for you. You beat the cross-state rivals there, so mazel tov on that. To get off the schneid, you're officially not, or at least possibly not the worst team in the NFL.
I just got my feet up on the desk. It's just I'm easy street at this point.
What if they get the first overall pick? If they get the first overall pick, Matt Barkley, Geno Smith are looking a different direction.
It's too early for me because I have seen personally some progress from Whedon.
I agree. I like Whedon.
We're so quick to judge these guys.
But he's getting close to retiring.
That's true. I mean, we've got potentially, you know, two or three more seasons until he's mid-30s or something.
It's not even a joke. And he was actually listed on the Browns media guide this week as 129, yeah. Which
that was a little aggressive.
Good.
But
yeah.
All right.
Well, and Dan Hanzus, a good week for you, too, because your Jets, they got into first place.
Yeah.
I got bad news for you, though.
Yeah.
They're also in last place.
They are. It's a 3-3 deadlock, all four teams. But I'm pretty proud of the guys for, you know, not quitting. I thought they were going to go in the tank after that Niners game, and it looks like they're going to put up a fight. So my 5-6 win prediction, I'm going to back off that a little bit, and they could approach 500 now.
No,
I'm thinking.
No, you had it right the first time.
Yeah, we'll
all
see.
Right, now, like, I notice you guys are minding your P's and Q's because look who's joining us here in Studio 66. It's his virgin run into Studio 66. It's your boss from around the league. It's Greg Rosenthal. Yeah. What's the poop, fella?
That sounds serious, boss.
No, you are the boss.
Oh, you're the boss.
He is.
Yeah. Aren't you the – don't you call the shots? Is that, am I incorrect with that?
That's fair. Boss just feels harsh.
He holds our lives in his hands. It's let's not understate this.
Rosenthal.
I'm kind of like the Randy Lerner of ATL. Like de facto owner.
Now, Rosenthal, we enjoy your work. We enjoy everyone's work there, and Kareem Copeland as well around the league. And like I always say, if you're looking for anything – NFL.com. You got Damashek's Huey and Applesauce. You got Rank doing his like, dislike, his fantasy advice, Fabiano and beyond. But if you want to know what's going down up to the minute with the breaking NFL news, Around the League is the place to go. Rosenthal, hip everybody to what your backstory is. Who's your team?
I grew up a Patriots fan. Mm-hmm. I worked doing fantasy a long time.
Right.
At Roto-World, then Pro Football Talk for the last 3 years, and then I came and joined these clowns.
Now, you still root for the Patriots.
I do.
And what do you think about their 3-3 status now?
I've been convinced this whole year they're better than they were last year, so I'm sticking with that. And I want to say, you know, I've been pumping Dan up this whole time that the Jets are going to be fine. And now he's back on board. And
that's
I'm a Patriots fan.
That's nonsense. What do you think happens this weekend? I start with you, Hanzus. What do you think happens in the Jets-Patriots Showdown 1 2012?
Well, no matter what happens, the cool thing about this is I'm excited for the game, which I wouldn't have been able to say 2 weeks ago. Now that I think they have a little swagger back, they can go into New England at least thinking they can compete. They could get their doors blown off, and coming off a horrible loss in Seattle, the Patriots are probably going to be pretty angry themselves.
Isn't this the worst case scenario for you guys? You beat a team like the Colts. Like,
right.
Congratulations. I know Michael Cole was on WWE Raw pumping up John Cena for getting the Jets that huge win.
Right.
And now you're playing the Patriots, who, like you said, are coming off a terrible loss.
By no means do I think the Jets are going to win, or they might not even be competitive.
Then why are you excited for the game?
Because they're not going into it down, losing 34-0 at home to the Niners. They gave a good effort against Houston, and then they whooped up on Luck. And now you're going to go in there. You're going to have a little bit of swagger, enough to make the game interesting for me as a Jets.
Listen, outside of Sessler's Browns and probably the Jags and probably the Raiders, and am I forgetting anybody else? I mean,
bad teams, the
no
Chargers.
One's done. No, listen, Charlie. Nobody's done in the AFC. Everybody is a viable candidate for the playoffs.
The last thing you want, though, as a Jets fan, is Rex Ryan thinking that handing the ball to Sean Green 36 times a game is a good idea.
Right. It's fair.
It's a disaster.
It's fair.
Fair point.
I mean, if they go down 14-0 midway through the first quarter and Sanchez has to throw, it's going to get ugly probably. I'm not saying that I'm going to win the game, but I'm saying that at least there's a little bit of hope. And hope is a good thing.
I think the problem a little bit when they're 3-3, it's very deceiving, but it's taking the eye off the ball of some bigger issues in New York. I just don't believe you've got a quarterback that you really can be excited about on any level, Dan. I mean, I see the smile on your face, and I'm happy for you as a long-suffering Jets fan.
Your quarterback's 129.
I'm not comparing him to Whedon. I just think that there's some real issues that the Jets record doesn't address.
I enjoyed listening to you guys talk about that on the Around the League Debate Club, because I actually am a listener. I've listened to both of the episodes you put up there. Rosenthal, what's everybody buzzing about? What are the fans vibing to around the league this week?
I think the Chargers meltdown.
Yeah.
People want North Turner's head. I mean, they had 6 possessions in that second half. 3 interceptions, 2 fumbles, and negative yardage on the other one.
Wow. I mean, everybody is,
everyone
besides A.J. Smith understood that Norv Turner should have been gone last year. Nay, everybody understood Norv Turner should have been gone 2 or 3 seasons ago. So it's ludicrous that he's still there. Rank floated the hypothesis that they kept him around, Norv around, because this is the last season in San Diego and a clean break and a new era, will make sense as they move to Los Angeles.
They major leagued the whole thing.
Could be. Hmm. Could be.
Interesting.
Hey, all right, listen, I apologize, but we got to wrap it up already here. We've run long here. We have we had Kiesel, we had Josh Cribbs. Black Tie, quickly, your shout-out.
Shout-out this week. What's up, guys, by the way?
Hey.
Zeus and Cesar and Greg, nice to have you on the show.
What's up, man?
My shout-out this week goes out to the working man, goes out to roadkill removers.
Oh, yeah, that's terrible.
And it's a bad job. I mean, if you have to go out there and, you know, clean a dead chicken off the road or...
Yes, that's usually the animal. That's the beast that needs a cleaning.
I can't tell you how many times I'm driving up the 405.
A dead chicken.
Get this chicken off the road.
The only time I've ever seen a chicken not on a farm is in Rocky II, when Mickey has him to learn his quickness. Like, now you got speed!
Guys, you guys know I didn't grow up here. I grew up in Nigeria. We had a lot of chickens.
And they're chickens just running around.
A lot of random chickens.
Is that true?
That is very true.
Chickens just walking around. We've learned, I'll tell you, if nothing else, we learned nothing about pigskin today.
I think the whole chicken crossing the road joke was originated in Nigeria. That's where it's from.
If we've learned nothing else about pigskin today, we did learn about the big blue marble a little bit. We learned about England. We learned about Nigeria today. Good. So episode number 99, fellas, as you know, Rosenthal, you do not know, we like to honor the player who wore the episode number best. Number 99, well, Brett Kiesel was on today. It only makes sense that it would be Brett Kiesel.
Yeah, sure.
What about Ricky Vive? Toronto Maple Leaf of a couple of generations ago.
Let's maybe be serious.
Come on, Mark Gastineau.
99.
All right, here's
what
the
did Sap wear? Was Sap 99?
He was 99.
Sap.
Dave, when you do this passive aggressive thing,
I know
with
who
Wayne
it is.
Gretzky,
I'll tell you who it is.
You make
your
case.
Oh, Wayne Gretzky. He could be 99. What, you know who it's going to be? It's going to be Hugh Green, the guy who should have won the Heisman Trophy in 1980. But lost out
upset.
Unfairly.
Wow.
It wasn't upset.
Well, no, just that he's winning this competition at 99.
Do you have a vote?
Well, I said Gastineau, but I know that's not the one.
Gastineau.
Right, you vote Gastineau, Hanzeus. What do you vote, Cecily?
Sap often sits within 3 feet of me.
You vote Sap.
And
Rosenthal.
Can we go other sports?
Sure.
Yeah.
You got to go Gretzky.
Yes.
What do you say?
Gretzky.
What do you say there, Black Tie?
J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt.
Jeez Louise.
All right. And the good news is my vote counts for two, so you two combine. So Rank and Rosenthal say Gretzky. I say Hugh Green. I think we have to break the tie by flipping an imaginary coin. I flipped it, and up, it's Hugh Green. Hugh Green is number 99. My Black Tie, shame the devil if you try and put that Gretzky on the page. I won't have it. Gretzky does not go up there. He is not the greatest 99.
I like that Black Tie went out and secured Gretzky for episode 99. That would have been a nice touch.
Well, Gretzky would finally get the licking he had coming to him about 8 years ago.
I even had a hockey beat writer lined up for that too, and Black Tie's like, meh.
All right. Well, listen, we should get out of here because the fantasy live show is about to get going here, and of course, make sure you look for that on iTunes as well with Jason Smith, Elliot Harrison, and Michael Fabiano, who's bringing up the rear in not one but two fantasy so-called expert leagues, and he's the expert of experts, and yet he's in last place. Rank. What to say about that?
What do we say? And I beat him too.
I say shame on you is what I say to him. That's what I say. So the shout out is to roadkill workers. Hanzo's feeling good about himself today with his Jets in first place, also in last place. Fancy Pants Sessler, look for him at Mark Sessler NFL, and at Dan Hanzo's, at Greg Rosenthal, the best way to track you down.
That's it. It's an honor to be here.
At Adam Rank. And when my teams are losing, you can feel free to send me a tweet like Hanzo's did last night.
Oh, yeah. We
got a classy move.
That did not go over well. Rank came back with some fire at me. I could tell.
Yeah,
you're lucky.
Yeah, because Rank had the temerity to say that Peyton Manning isn't the most consistent guy in the clutch. I don't care what his career
numbers like
say.
I should be on this ATL Fight Club business.
That's not what it's called. Yes. It's not called the Fight Club.
Whatever it is.
Well, maybe if you ever listen to it, maybe they'll invite you.
Oh, I don't miss an episode.
Is that right?
All six of them.
We'll figure that out. Episode number 100 coming up, and Black Tie says he has a special guest in store for us. Is that true?
What is he pointing at?
If he has a special guest, I can't wait to see who it is. You know it's going to be underwhelming. Don't miss it.
I don't even want to get, because I'm thinking like Robert Downey Jr.
Listen to hear this man's disappointment. And this
is
going to
be so bad.
All right. Thanks to Kiesel. Thanks to Josh Cribbs. Thanks to the Around the League fellas. Again, make sure you look for that on Around the League. And then coming up in just a couple of days, Ranks Great Like Dislike column for all you fantasy people. And we'll figure this whole thing out. The ATL Fight Club, why Fabiano is in last place, even though he's supposedly the fantasy guru. A lot to
figure
out.
He's like the Dieter Brock of those leagues.
Oh, Rank, wow, with a late one. Good for you. I tip my hat to you, sir. You are a worthy adversary. Good for you. All right. We'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce on episode number 100. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.